That was Status Quo and Rocking All Over the World. Now, I am joined in the studio by Arthur O'Donnell, who's a member of the North East Dublin Drug Task Force. Also, what would you say you are?
We'd be the Belcamp Estate Steering Committee.
Mm-hmm. And you also are work with the RASP programme as well.
Myself and the chairman of our organisation are board members of RASP, and we bring a community perspective into the drug sector.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, what other specific work does RASP do?
Well, it's a rehabilitation programme based on educational courses and delivered to, some people call them clients, but we call people students, because it's an educational background, computers and a number of other courses, facilitated by some terrific support workers who are quite often in the main volunteers now. At a time when volunteers are hard to get, we're very lucky to have the people we have delivering some of the courses, yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, that volunteering, though, I think volunteering is increasing lately since because people want to get out there and do something and help, put something back into the community, because there's no jobs out there, let's put it like that.
Yeah.
And people are finding things very, very difficult. I mean, how many people would you actually have on the RASP learning programme?
I think there's about 18, Shane, is there?
Yeah, about 18, yeah.
About 18 is a sort of critical mass, if you like, yeah.
Well, we've got Shane here. Shane's one of the students, as I say, on the RASP programme. Shane, can you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and also about what the RASP programme has done for you?
Yeah, no, I'm in RASP 3.5 years now. I went in there on methadone, and then last September, I went to St. Michael's detox unit in Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm still clean now.
You're still clean. You know? Brilliant.
But if it wasn't for RASP, I don't think I'd be here now today, you know.
What sort of subjects do you do in RASP, or what sort of stuff do you do?
We do choice theory, we do computers, computers, coaching classes, and we do the LIP programme. North Sea Partnership, you know, do four computer courses, you know.
And how when you go there, every day, do you?
Yeah.
And what time will you be there from? No, from the mornings.
Say 10 to 4.
10 to 4. So it's a good long day. It keeps you occupied as well.
It does keep you
occupied, you know. Now, what other sort of supports do you provide besides for the drug rehabilitation? What other supports would you provide to anybody else or to people?
The project's mainly concerned with the Dublin 17 area. That's its catchment area, but there may be somebody who come from further out. Where possible, people wouldn't be refused. There's a very accepting ethos and philosophy attached to the group, where people qualify. First of all, you have to be stable.
Right. Does that mean clean?
Well, yes, and as Shane was describing there, if you're on methadone, you're stable. There are great advantages to be had from that. That the wider community wouldn't be aware to any great degree of that, because traditionally, a project such as RASP and the wider community are not naturally bedfellows at times. People are quite often hostile to the idea of a project. They wouldn't see the idea of a benefit. That word benefit wouldn't immediately spring to mind to the wider community to have a project on its doorstep.
That's true.
But when I was talking about the stability aspect of it there, Shane will probably tell from his own terrific experience there, but when people are stabilised, it has a knock-on effect into the home life of the families who live with the problems.
Yeah.
There's a further knock-on then into the wider community, which they wouldn't be immediately sort of aware of, in terms of young children who are living in a chaotic domestic environment are not best prepared to go to school in the mornings, maybe not getting to bed until 2 and 3 in the morning. So a stable home life plays into that. So as a consequence of that, you'll have children who were previously in a chaotic environment, better prepared now with their attention levels and everything else, attending school now in a less disruptive way.
Yeah.
And you only need two or three people in a class of 28 or 30 or whatever it may be for everybody to be disrupted. So the other 26, if you like, just to use that ballpark figure, of the children who come from families who don't think they're affected by the drug problem, they benefit from the fact that there's a good educational environment in the classroom, and it's not disruptive. Yeah. So there's a spin-off that wouldn't be immediately obvious until it had been teased out.
Yeah, yeah.
The role of our group as a community sort of, we're a bridging a facility basically between the wider community and the drug project. And we see our role there as dousing the flames of alarmist and scaremongering and ill-founded fears, if you like.
Yeah.
Such as another example, not to bang on about it too much, another example of an unexpected sort of bounce, a bonus for the community would be that ideas of a needle exchange in a community is another sort of rings alarm bells with people, and
that's
needles
true,
and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And parents with young children who are in using playground facilities and whatnot. Now, if you have a well-resourced and properly organised needle exchange going to the benefit of everyone, including the clients, at the risk of hepatitis C and stuff like that. But also, you don't have recklessly discarded needles becoming the problem that they would be otherwise.
That's
so there's a degree of peace of mind when you visit the facilities that are there for the children in the area. So these are all the little knock-on effects. We're able to maybe put that sort of language and text into the thinking of people. And we produce our own newsletter.
Oh, very good. What's that?
But it's the Belcamp newsletter. It's a mixture of good news and sometimes it's bad news, and you have to do that at times. Sometimes you're dealing with the statutory bodies on a basis where you're not getting the services you think you should be. And when the statutory bodies perform well, we recognise and celebrate that. But when they don't, we give them a bit of a knock in the newsletter. So that's where we come from. And so our group would be used to background in lobbying and interacting with local politicians and stuff like that. That's another aspect that we can bring to the RASP thing, because they're basically and fundamentally preoccupied with therapy and therapeutic matters, which is their business, and rightly so. So we bring another dimension, another different skill set there, that when projects like RASP, like many, many in the Dublin Northeast region who are now suffering cutbacks, in fact, citywide, they all are, we may be in a position there to sort of give more time and thought and construction to how we should sort of put the heat on in areas where we might get a result and loosen up whatever funding might be out there.
Right. Yeah, but what about funding? How does your funding actually work?
Well, it's up until now, I think, Shane, it's the Department of Education, I think. That might be transferring over to another department now, the mainstream the funding. Outside of that, I don't know what the sort of, if there's any fundraising voluntary. I'm not aware of it, to be honest with you.
So you don't, can people donate to?
Well, yes, they can. And there's a facility for that on the RASP website. So, which is another way of making people aware of where we are and what we do and who we do it for.
Yeah.
And Shane will probably talk about that. Yeah, go on.
www.rasprogram.com.
That's the website. Yeah.
We do. I've meant to say. We do drama in the class. You know. We done a play there a couple of weeks ago for the Dublin Task Force. And they loved it. You know.
Oh, very good. Where did you do? Where did you perform?
Lacaille down Donnycarney.
Oh.
Then we done a piece up in Jackson Centre in Ballymun. And then we done that 2 years ago, just before I went to detox. Voices.
I actually saw that on the website. What can you tell me about what was Voices?
It was all a good story, bad story. We all had to give, you know, a bad experience with the drugs and a good story, you know. It was very good, you know.
Yeah,
we got good prizes out of it, you know. We're doing another play now at the moment.
Playing the Stars. Oh, yeah, O'Casey, isn't it?
O'Casey. We've done a few of his plays. I love it, you know.
Do you do the acting yourself as well?
Yeah, oh, brilliant. We have, can I say his name?
Of course.
Yeah, Conal Kearney. He's a dramatist, you know.
Oh.
His grandfather writ the National Anthem for Ireland.
Flipping hell.
Yeah, so.
There you go.
We tend to like him for that.
And one of the things that you're in for as well, you have currently have an art exhibition going on up in Coolock Library. It started there on the 7th and it runs until the 21st. Did you contribute anything to yourself?
Yeah.
What have you put in there, Shane?
The Oak Stairway to Nowhere.
Right. Yes, I saw that one. I was up in the library there, I think it was.
I started out messing for us, and then it just came out like a house. So mm-hmm. I started doing it, and then Lizzie, the teacher, which great teacher, you know, she came over and she showed me a book, and a famous person mm-hmm. drew the picture. Well, I never seen the picture before.
Oh, I know. I think I know the picture you're talking about. I don't know the name of myself, but I mean, but your pictures, the artwork, I had a look. Some of it's quite very impressive up there.
Yeah.
So it is.
And a little jar has been done, you know.
Yeah. Now, Connor just handed me here that Voices project you've done, and this was sponsored by some Stephen Screen Trust Community Foundation of Ireland. And it's, where can they get the CD anywhere? Can this CD be got anywhere, Connor?
Does it have to be got from RASP?
Online.
So you go to rasprogram.com and you can get the CD online. And as you were saying, it's contributions, good stories, bad stories, and whatever like that. Debbie, have you. Anything you want to?
How many actually? But
go for it, Debbie.
How many people actually do you have in MASP at the moment? Is there a waiting list for people to join, or can anyone just pop
in? See, what happened there was, they were giving out the two payments. If you're on the sick, you get double payment, but that's all cut now. The labour cut, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard now to get people in now just to work for an extra €20, but I recommend it to anybody to come in, you know.
Yeah.
It's a couple of hours off their life, you know what I mean, and to help is there for them, you know.
So would a CE participant, do you take CE people in, or is it people who's just on disability?
Yeah. Take anybody in, you know, that wants help, you
know. So many have you got there at the moment?
I think there's 14. You know, 14 of us, yeah.
And how many can it facilitate up to? What number?
I think it's about 20, 22 probably.
So there is places there, people are listening in and want to...
Yeah, definitely.
As you said, it's something to do every day. You know, you've been occupied.
The boredom, if you want to get your life together, and you're sitting at home, bored, you're going to do something, you know. But if you can get to RASP, at least you have something there and you meet new people and you can go for a game of snooker or coffee with new people you meet, you know.
Exactly. Now, what way have you found it's helped you since you've joined?
Well, as I said, I got me off the methadone and tablets, you know.
Yeah.
And I started college last week, something that I never thought I'd do, you know. Down close to do with Granini.
Very good.
But I'm looking forward now to doing the college, you know, because I'm training to be a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
My dream is to go to Alaska, you know. Yeah. I know it's cold over there, but... But my dream is to be a wildlife photographer.
Beautiful,
you know?
Place, yeah. And take some photographs, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've done Photoshop already, so next year I'm going to be doing the next level of it. And RASP, they did help me a lot, you know.
So have you felt your life has changed?
Yeah, big time, yeah. As I said, if I didn't go to RASP that day for the interview 3.5 years ago, I probably wouldn't be here now today, you know.
So it's really.
Could have been back in prison or could have been dead, you know, so. Yeah. It has changed, and I recommend it to anybody, you know.
Yeah. Well, if people are listening out there.
Please, God, come down any time now, we get refused in the gate, you know.
Did you say something? It was in the Bell Centre in Durham?
No, it's in Belcamp Lane.
Oh, Belcamp Lane, all right, yeah.
Belcamp Lane, yeah. Beside the next door to the clinic.
Okay. Is there a number or a website if anyone wants to find out? You read it already, no, but just remind them.
I get the number there now. It's 867-3504. Just ask for George.
Okay. So just ask.
That's 867. What was it again?
3504.
And your website is www.rasprogram.com.
Yeah.
And you can find all the information out there. You also can get a copy of this CD, The Voices, Good Stories, Bad Stories. Okay, that about concludes. Connor, I want to thank you very, very much for coming in to see us, and I'd advise everybody to go to the Coolock Library and get to see this very excellent art exhibition. Shane, also, pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Great for you
to come in. And as I say, long may your good work continue. Thanks very much.
Thank you.